I had aspirations for that tower. I was going to get the biggest swinging mead flag of all time and have it waving off that tower. So every time the people of Kildare looked north, they knew who ran this neck of the woods. Commander Ryle!
This is probably not a foregone conclusion of any sort at all. I'm going to give Bord's Mill the nod here, David.
Wow. I'm not, but I admire it.
Look, I love my county. I love playing for Meath. I'm very passionate about it. I think it's the best county, you know, going. I still love it. I want us to dominate in both codes.
Yeah, you'd have Ratoath still won, would you?
I said
no. Don't give me. If you won't answer, if you would have Ratoath in one, then don't even go there.
Nunc est bibendum, and all the classical scholars out there will know what that means. And if they don't, Jimmy Google will sort it out.
You jumped over the fence, baby.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast. Davey Ruspin and Mickey Brennan. And I'm looking down at our notes here for the weekend, Davey. And it's just crazy. I can see six county games over the last 5 days, 6 days. And that's not even to include the likes of Man United doing Arsenal a favour by drawing with Liverpool today. Should have taken all 3 points. I know a lot of people will laugh at that, but when you're 2-1 up, United just don't know how to close out games. But we did use a favour anyway, the Gooners.
Yeah, we obviously got a great win ourselves Saturday night up Brighton's only second defeat of the season, first since August. And Liverpool capped off a great Sunday personally, Mickey, with Meath obviously winning as well, which was nice. But yeah, it's in Arsenal's hands. They're still second favourites for the league. It's mad, though, the way it's flip-flop. Liverpool, before the weekend, were favourites out of the three. Now it's City, Arsenal second favourites, Liverpool third favourites. It's a great title race. And listen, it's great that, one, we're ahead of Liverpool with seven games to go, and two, you're ahead of Robbie Keane, the ham, on the I Bloody Love Fantasy Football Premier League podcast as well. So, all in all, a pretty good weekend, Mickey, I'd have to say.
Yeah. As Meatloaf put it, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, because obviously Mead won, Cavan beat Monaghan, and then, you know, we drew with Liverpool. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. If we had lost to Liverpool, it would have been 2 out of 3 is bad. But anyways, we'll take it. Anyway, look, come here. That's the bullshit done with now, because we've got an awful lot of stuff to get through here. Meath and Longford on Sunday is where we're going to start, in Glennon Brothers Pierce Park. Meath 3-19, Longford 3-12. That's a little bit of a disappointment. We will be doing a full review of this over on our We Are Meath, or on our Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon.com/We Are Meath. And we've interviews with Owen Frayne and Colin O'Rourke. We'll just briefly go through this, though. Kicking 3-19 is brilliant. If you kick 3-12 most days, it'll win you games. And that's something probably that will, you know, that will irk Colin O'Rourke a little bit.
I think it should, yeah. To concede 2-1 in the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game, albeit it was wrapped up and Meath were coasting at the time, there were sloppy goals. I think 2 of the 3 goals that they let in, they've been very disappointed with, like, just really, really bad goals to concede. The flip side of that is 3-19 is a great score to be putting up. We haven't scored 3 goals in a game so far this year. We created bucket loads of chances aside from the 3 goals that we got, Mickey, as well. So that's probably another positive to pick from it. And the offensive play was very good. Just defensively, you'd be a little bit concerned going into the Lions' Den next Sunday. But it gives them plenty to work on for the next 5 or 6 days to hopefully tighten up and shore that defence up a bit. Because remarkably, throughout the league, our defence was, you know, really watertight, and up front we were struggling to create, whereas on Sunday it was the complete opposite, probably to do with the fact that we were playing a lower ranked team in Longford, in truth. But I still would have taken a 7-point win when I got up this morning, so I can't be too critical of it either.
Yeah, and some familiar faces back in the fold as well. You know, we had Ryan at centre half back. When we were picking our team last week, that's the reason why I'm saying Ryan, is because we picked Ryan to be starting in the defence, and we were right. Jordy Morris back on the field and lit it up at times as well. Before he was taken off, it was great to see him back on the field. You know, it was there was a couple of switches or changes to the lineup that we were expecting. We thought Keane McBride would start. What happened there, Diddy?
But that's not a bad thing, actually, Mickey. The fact that maybe he didn't start, and it proves that we have a number of options in there. Like, you know, we know that Daoghi McGowan is versatile, and he can slot into a number of different positions. And he did that. He sat in there alongside Ronan Jones. I credit Keane McBride for coming on for his championship debut, by the way, and getting a goal, though. You know, he came on with a real positive attitude and a point to prove. I was obviously probably disappointed not to play, but took it the right way. The other one that we probably didn't foresee was James Bandy Conlon starting.
Oh, yeah.
And he went on to score 1-6 and man of the match. So a terrific performance from the Colm Gills man. And he's missed a lot of time, did well up in Donegal, and he's earned his stripes. Delighted for Jordy Morris too. Like, it's his first game since the Cavan senior final, I think, Mickey. 4 points from play, excellent performance. Owen Frayn, very good as well on the 40 in his first Leinster game. So his Leinster debut with a goal on 5. And then the guys that you mentioned, Ross Ryan, obviously maintained his position, coming in at 6. Campbell got onto the field. Ronan Ryan got onto the field for the first time this year. First time since the county final with Summerhill last year. Remarkable. So great to see him back. So loads of positives to pick from it. And as we said, Baron Conor Gray and Brian O'Halloran, probably Meath's strongest 26 at this moment in time.
Yeah, great to see it. And we will be doing, as we said, the full review over on our Loyal Royals podcast with the interviews. We'll go into more depth. There's an awful lot more stuff that I want to pick your brain about on that game. And we look forward to doing that one. Davey, we're going to be chopping and changing here. I've just taken down the notes as they are. The under-20 hurlers were out as well at the weekend on Saturday. That was part of a doubleheader in Navan. And they got the better of Derry, 116 to 110. Gale force wind in Park Tolchin on Saturday. And I suppose the hard work was done in the first half, got in at half-time level. Again, we'll be doing a full review of this on our Loyal Royals podcast. We've interviews with Crash Corrigan, Craig Gilsonen, and Tom Shine. Crash Corrigan obviously being the manager of the under-20s.
Yeah, the three lads came in together for a collective interview. It was an interesting one, Mickey, trying to mix up the questions between the different lads. But do you know what? I've fallen a bit for this team. I think this is a terrific team, right? And they've made huge progress and brilliant strides now. They're true to the knockout stages. The draw against Westmead last week was a huge performance. It was a big result, but it was only as big as going and getting a win against Derry, who are a decent side in their own right as well, which are quite right in what you say. The first half performance against Storm Kathleen was really what set the platform for this victory. 6 points apiece at half time. And they really went on to control the second half, particularly in the middle part where they took over. Having Dara Shine back in the team was a huge boost. And again, it was another battling, gritty display. There's an awful lot to like about this team. I really do want to stress that. And I'm just so pleased for them. Crash has done a fantastic job up to now. And listen, we wish them all the very best. They can put their feet up next weekend, because they've got the bye. Derry and Westmeath, they'll be fighting it out to see who goes through with Meath. Incidentally, Meath have a 6-point lead on Westmeath, so Westmeath need to win by 6 or 7, I think, to top the group. But Meath are true regardless of if they finish up in first or second. And this was a really good win for them.
And a lot riding on it for Derry as well, because if they beat Westmeath, they go through.
I'd probably struggle to see them beating Westmeath, but it's a one-off game and all the pressure will be on Westmeath, you know, and they've had to stew for a couple of weeks on it. But very good for Meath again. And just really happy with them myself. I've a falling a bit for this team. You know the way you kind of get gros for different teams. Like
yeah,
this
you
is the
do
team that
all
they
the
want.
time, Davey. You do. You're just a slut for these teams here. You know, you don't stick with one.
I
You
just love a bit
them
of
all.
success. I love a good underdog story, Mickey.
So what you do is, what you're saying is you love jumping on a bandwagon is what you're saying.
I was there from the start.
I was
Other
there
people will jump on now. We'll see them at the quarterfinals.
When they get to Croker, I'll be going with you, all right? What was I going to say? I'm only joking. Davey, someone has to do the editing of the podcast. So
of course.
That was part of a doubleheader on Saturday. And the first game, the curtain raiser, was the Mead Miners taking on Westmead in the Leinster Championship. And Westmead got the better of the Mead side. A disappointing day for them, let's just say, and let's hope they can wipe it out of their memory. It was Westmead 3-23 and Mead 4 points played in Park Tolchin before that Mead Derry game.
Yeah, it was a shame, but there was just a gulf in class, Mickey. It was evident from the start, and Mead were playing with the wind in the first half of this game and only mustered 3 points with it. Westmead, in contrast, hit a goal in 13. They were awesome in that first half. Really, really impressive. Just different class, you know. And I felt a bit for the Mead team because they put in a good display against Offaly the first day over in Dunmore-Ashburn. They beat Wicklow the second day. Gave themselves a bit of a chance going into the final two, but no complaints here. They just come up against a far superior Westmead side who really put them to the sword, added a couple of goals in the second half. Mead could only muster 1 point in the second half, 49-minute free from Luke Ennis. But it was a chastening day for Martin Lynch's troops. But I don't think that's a fair reflection on the work that's gone into this team. They still have a game left and hopefully they can finish with a flourish. But that's their qualification hopes and prospects now firmly extinguished. And yeah, disappointing for them, particularly because it was in Park Tolchin with a decent crowd as a curtain raiser to the under-20s.
Lush, beautiful grass shouldn't be limited to GAA pitches. At Husqvarna, we have the perfect solution. Silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna Automower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, Automower from your phone. Automower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised Automower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in-store in Clonard, County Meath.
So, Davey, moving on then to the minor footballers. They were out in Hunterstown last Wednesday night, I think it was, and they were taking on Louth, obviously, in an away game. It finished Louth 1-10, Meath 11 points, and this game ebbed and flowed kind of right up until about 45, 50 minutes, and then Louth took control of this game, and it's a disappointing result for the Meath minor footballers.
Yeah, it's another disappointing result for them, albeit an improved performance on the week previous. I know it probably wouldn't be harder than what they produced against Kildare, but going in against Louth, who just about edged out Westmead the week previous in Hunterstown, was always going to be a difficult task. But Mead actually led by a point at halftime, 6 points to five. But remarkably, Mickey, Mead could only muster 1 point in the first 28 minutes of the second half. And as you said, Louth took control then, crucially got the goal from Brendan Casty on the 57th minute, put them 5 points clear. To their credit, Mead rallied after that and got scores with Pat Crawley to the fore, as well as the likes of Patrick Urill and Cormac Smith, along with Evan Kelly. But it wasn't to be for Mead. They ran out of time, and their time seems to be running out in this competition. They do still have one more opportunity. Nothing but a win against Westmead will give them any sort of hope, but it's not looking great. But at the same time, they still have a squeak, and if they can beat Westmead, they might just sneak through. But it's not great after two games. It's just been a disappointing campaign for all the work that's gone in here.
Yeah, and they have to travel down to Westmead next Saturday for a 4 p.m. throw-in in Cusick Park, TEG Cusick Park in Mullingar, 4 o'clock next Saturday to take on Westmead. And that's not going to be an easy one. And coming off defeat to your near neighbours in Louth, you're going to the other side of the county to your other near neighbours, one on the left, one on the right. Look, like, with this age group, you never know what can happen. And I know that weather-wise during the week, it wasn't great over in Hunterstown and stuff like that. Hopefully things pick up, because we know there's some serious ballers on this minor team.
Yeah, and that's why we'd love to see it, you know, because I think you're right. I think there is great quality in that group, and we obviously know that there were a good Gerry Riley side only a year or two ago. So, regardless of how it finishes for them, I know they'll all go on to have great careers for me than for the clubs and that. But it would be great to see them, you know, just give themselves a bit of a lift next weekend. Westmeath are in a very similar position to me than that they need to win, but It's a difficult one, you're right, down in Westmeath. But you never know, they could throw the kitchen sink at it now. It's last chance saloon. So hopefully they can maybe throw the shackles off and just produce a performance that might just be enough to get them, squeak them through.
Well, it's a winner takes all game. Draw doesn't do anything for Meath. But a win will see them through. Kildare and Louth are top of the table with 4 points each. Having beaten Meath and Westmeath, both teams obviously with their 4 points, they'll be clashing at the top of the table for a top spot. But a win, as we said, it does give them that gate into the next round of the championship, and maybe they could get things back together then.
Yeah, well, it would be a preliminary quarter final, I believe. And listen, you're going to be up against it in terms of the teams you're playing if you can get through that. But at the same time, listen, it's an opportunity for them. And on the back of two defeats, I think they'll be pretty happy that they still have an opportunity, because all things being equal, they could easily be gone at this stage. But as it's turned out, they have one more opportunity to put it right.
Yeah, they do indeed. Well, best of luck to the lads as they travel down to Cusack Park in Mullingar next Saturday at 4 p.m. And let's hope that the weather picks up for them and they can put in that performance that they need to get through to that preliminary quarter final. And who knows, more games might bring them together and bring things together as well for them. On Tuesday night, though, Davey, our under 20 footballers were out. They were playing Westmeath in Ashburn on Tuesday evening. You were there. We did our full review of this game on our Patreon service. But a really good display from Meath, 18 points to Westmeath's 2 goals and 5. The only thing that Colin Brick would be concerned about was the 2 goals, really, because Meath only conceded 7 scores over 60 plus minutes of football, which is brilliant from Colin Brick's side. Still work to be done, though, as well.
Yeah, there is definitely, along with the 2 goals that they conceded, they probably coughed up another 2 decent opportunities for Westmeath. I think they hit the crossbar and the post either side of half time as well. And after concession of the goal, after like 19 or 20 seconds, Meath hit the last 11 points of the first half unanswered. And that just completely gave them the initiative after that. They seen it out pretty comfortably. Very impressive performances on the night from the likes of Ryan Stafford, Jamie Murphy, and Keane Commons. They hit 13 points between them, the majority of those coming from play. So it was a decent performance all round, and a winning start. I don't think you could ask for too much more. They're true now, pressure's off to an extent, and they can obviously test themselves against the best in the province now on Tuesday night, with the outcome not being as important as it would have been had Meath slipped up against Westmeath. So they're true, and as you said, plenty of scope for improvement at the same time.
Yeah, Westmeath had a game under their belt as well at that stage, if I'm not mistaken, Davey.
They did, yeah. They played Dublin the week previous, and I know they went down by, I think, 12 points, but you're right, they had a competitive game under their belt, and they were essentially in the last chance saloon going into the Meath game, so it was almost a free hit for them coming to Ashburn. There were no great shakes, I'd have to say, but Meath dealt with them effectively in the end too. So I think Cottle will be pretty pleased all round.
Yeah, he will indeed. Number of players to come back into that Meath team as well. Looking at the fixtures for them now, it's Dublin on Tuesday night, Davey, at 7:30 in Parnell Park. Now, one thing that we were talking about last week was how the groups would work out. It's top two in each group. There's four groups in Leinster. Top two in each group go through to the quarterfinals. So, like, while there's not, both teams are through, Meath and Dublin, on Tuesday night when they face off in Parnell Park. There is top spot, which will perceivably gives you a better draw, that you will be playing a second place team from another group. Now, one of the other good teams in Leinster is Kildare, and they lost to Offaly last week, which means that more than likely Kildare are going to go into a second spot as well. Like, so it doesn't, the top eight teams are going to be good no matter what.
With that's it. I think Kildare play Louth on Tuesday night coming, and I actually think that game is a winner take all clash, which will be a cracking game. And just a word for Minolti referee Kieran Alwell, who's down to referee that one. We wish him well in that one. But you're right, and it's funny, me and you could talk about finishing top and getting perceived easier games. Managers can never say that, you know. So it's always funny. They never would say, you know, finishing top is all that important, because you have to be conscious of finishing second and, you know, all the rest of it. But we can say that too. I don't think it's all that important, to be honest, which I think it's more important that we put in a performance against Dublin. And if we were to beat them, for the team's own belief as much as anything, I think that would be huge. Because
Davey, when you're referencing that team again, could you use their proper name, the Sneaky Dubs?
Yeah, it's a Sneaky Dub, particularly in Parnell Park as well at under 20 level. It doesn't evoke good memories from a Meath perspective. But again, I like this Meath team. I think they've got huge potential, got great quality, they've got nice depth, they've got players to come back as well. So hopefully Tuesday night could be a good yardstick for them if they can get a win, and that would really set them up then.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Meath under 20 hurlers and our under 20 footballers are going really well at the moment, and it's absolutely brilliant to see. So best luck to Carl and the lads on Tuesday night in Parnell Park when they take on the Sneaky Dubs. So we'll just give them their proper title from now on. Davey, finally on the fixture, on the results end of things, when it comes to Meath teams, are Meath Camogues, we mentioned it last week, they were out in an All-Ireland quarter-final against Carlow. That game was played in Abbottstown. We didn't know where it was going to be played. We were trying to figure out. We said it probably will be in the Centre of Excellence in Dublin or whatever. Well, Meath's All-Ireland hopes came to a crushing defeat at the end at the hands of Carlow. 2-9 to Carlow, 11 points to Meath, 11 scores apiece, but the goals being the difference between the two teams on the day.
Yeah, and with 19 minutes gone in the second half, Mickey, the teams were deadlocked. 2-5 to Carlow, 11 points to Meath, but Meath wouldn't score for the remainder of the game, and Carlow just pulled clear in the end and went on to score. Disappointed for Meath, they've been excellent, but just fell a little bit short in the dying embers of that game, and Carlow progressed. But Meath can be really, really proud of their efforts, I suppose, to get to this stage. And again, it bodes well for the future. That is most definitely very bright for them.
Lush, beautiful grass shouldn't be limited to GAA pitches. At Husqvarna, we have the perfect solution. Silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna Automower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, Automower from your phone. Automower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised Automower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in-store in Clonard, County Meath.
Okay, so Davey, we're going to move on now. And I believe you have two things you want to give a plug to on the podcast there. I believe Dunshaughlin are doing a Festival of Football, and of course Dunsany are doing their usual Masters Golf competition. And I think you've got the details.
Yeah, I do. I'll start with Dunsany, Mickey. They've got their annual Masters Tournament golf prediction, which we said we'd give a plug to. The closing date for entry is actually on Monday the 8th, so time is running out to get involved in that one. Masters, of course, take a place between the 11th and the 14th, which is next week. Entry is €10 for one, or you could play for
you can get three entries for 20, basically. Prizes are €500 for the first prize. Second gets 100, and the bestseller gets 50 quid. All funds will go towards improving their facilities. So you can access it via any of their social media channels. Sorry, and they've got a Dunsany Masters link as well, which is doing the rounds. So best of luck to everyone in Dunsany running that one. And as I said, Dunshaughlin and Royal Gales are running a Festival of Football. It's in memory of Dennis and Maria Keeley Johnson, and it's taking place on Saturday the 4th of May from 10 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock that evening in the Dunshaughlin GAA grounds. The festival parade will take place at 10:30 in the morning. Juvenile matches will start at 11 a.m. with under-9s, girls and boys. Then there's under-11s. Then there's an adult match, two adult matches, sorry. First one's at 5 p.m. and it takes place between Royal Gales All-Stars and a Meath All-Stars team. And then at 5:45, it's a Dunshaughlin All-Stars team versus a Meath men's All-Star team. There'll be music, food and much more. There's more details to follow as well. I know that our good friend of the podcast, Mr. Fergal Lynch, along with the great Eamon Murray, are two of the managers for the respective teams. So great to see, and all in aid of an absolutely brilliant cause. So credit to everybody in Dunshaughlin and Royal Gales for that one, and hopefully it'll be really well supported on the 4th of May.
Absolutely. I was just about to ask you again to repeat when it is. It's the 4th of May, the Dunshaughlin Royal Gales Club holding that Festival of Football for two great Gales of the club and two great Gales of Meath in Maria and Dennis Keeley. And what a club. And I'm sure that that would be an amazing, amazing day. So anybody out there, put that in your diary. The 4th of May. Is that a Sunday? I think it is. Is that the Maybank holiday?
It is, I think, isn't it? Yeah, it's Saturday the 4th. Yeah.
Oh, Saturday. Saturday the 4th.
So oh, no, it's probably the week after. Sorry. Yeah.
So do get in. And no, that'll be the bank holiday weekend. So get in and make sure that you're there for that one. It's going to be a brilliant, brilliant event, as we said, on the 4th. Saturday the 4th. You've got 2 days of a hangover then before you have to go back to work. So, Dunshaughlin Royal Gales, 4th of May. Davey, time to move on then to our lotto segment.
No bother, Mickey. First one up, as always, is from my own Corton GFC. We had our lotto on Friday night, the 5th of April. We had a €10,600 jackpot. The numbers were 2, 21, 23 and 27. No winner. €520 winners were Ronan Doughty, Deirdre Coyne, Karen Kenny, Eileen Bruton and Paul McKenna. Next week, we have €10,800, cortoga.com/lotto. Ballinlock fortnightly draws taking place on Monday nights. They had a €7,100 jackpot last time around. F, P, S and X, their numbers. No jackpot winner. Next draw takes place on the 15th of April. They had a number of match three winners who will win their share of €100, including Mary Lydon, Michael Henry, John Madden, Martina Riley, Colette Gerline and Carmel Carroll. The next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Navan O'Matney's, their numbers from last week were 7, 8, 23 and 27. No jackpot winner. Two match three winners were Kathleen Smith and Sean Jordan. Next draw takes place on the 9th of April and it's worth €5,600. Next up is Kilmainham from Monday night the 1st of April. No winner of their one. 6, 16, 25 and 26. Next week's jackpot moves nicely on to €11,800. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20 from last week, were Emily Morgan, Kyra Clarkin, Horak Black, Daniel O'Lahan and Johnny Clark. Next one up is from Manalvi from Monday night, the 1st of April. Numbers were 8, 18, 23 and 28. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Porrick Dunn, David Dunn and Davina Corcoran. Next draw takes place on Monday the 8th. They've got a jackpot of €7,500 at manalvigfc.ie. We can also play it on the Clubforce app. Menalty, from the 1st of April, jackpot of €4,000, not one. Numbers were 1, 5, 21 and 27. One match three winner winning €200 was Amy Farley. One special online prize of €50 goes to John Farrell. And next draw takes place tonight, the 7th of April. It's worth €4,200. The next one I have is from Dunham or Ashburn GFC, the new Fesh Cup champions, Mickey, sorry for that.
Big head.
Yeah, okay. They've worked hard for it. I think they've deserved it now for their two finals. But they've got a nice jackpot bubbling away as well. From last week, they had a 10,000 jackpot, which wasn't won. Number of match three winners here, including Pat Monaghan, Sean O'Connor, Kieran Nolan, Aileen Maher, Olive Finn, Kyne O'Connor, and Patrick Martin. And as well as that, they had an array of lucky dip winners. Malcolm Thornton, Valerie Donnelly, Charlene Walsh, Nicola O'Hanlon, Breed Gotran, Tess Mulvey, all for Nuala Buckley, Queeveen O'Tuckle, Declan Tormey, and Amanda Galvin. Their numbers were 1, 9, 10, and 19, and they go again with €10,000 tonight. And that brings you up to date with my lot, Mickey.
Did you mention the Mainalty lotto?
I did.
All right, I should have jumped in and said the two-time reigning Torch and Shield champions.
You know what? Said that. You know what? You should have, Mickey, but you didn't.
No, and I won't mention it again. Davy Centerstone's lotto last Tuesday, the 2nd of April, was €1,300, and it wasn't won. The numbers wrong were 7, 16, 18, and 26. Five €25 winners were Sive Monaghan, Danielle Darby, Pat Clark, Shauna Fitzgerald, and Brian Clark. This week's lotto will be €1,400. I have to move on to my next one. And that one is from Kilmainham Wood from last Monday. Sorry, Centerstones was from last Monday as well. So Kilmainham Woods was last Monday, the 2nd of April. The numbers drawn were 7, 8, 15, and 18. There was no jackpot winner. Five lucky dip winners were Sylvia Riley, Susan Hughes, Matt Carlin, Packy McBreen, and Susan Trelly. I think that's the name. And this week's lotto will be a massive €3,400. And then finally, Simonson's lotto last Friday night was not won. It was €5,300. The match three winners were Tom Gallagher. He wins €100 or €150 all to himself. And the numbers drawn were 3, 13, 19, and 20. This week's lotto on Friday night will be €5,350. Jelly follows that up, but I'd say you're happy not hearing about the League of Ireland too. And he sends me the love hearts in the hands and a couple of laughy faces. And then he came back with another message and he goes, well, actually, there's not really much to talk about in the League of Ireland at the minute. So I left it at that with him.
Sorry, Mickey, I didn't went radio silent on you there. If you wanted me to talk about League of Ireland, I will, no problem.
No, I wanted to talk about his comments.
I'll talk about it if you want. There's not much happening from a Dundalk perspective and the Drogheda perspective. We mightn't go there. I'm not sure if you heard the goings-on in Weavers Park on Friday where a linesman was hit by a flare from the away section from Shelburne. But yeah, just another week in the League of Ireland. It's never dull there.
Yeah. So he didn't mention any of that. I know Dundalk are not going well at the moment, so he's not going to be spouting too much. So he's not. Davey, have we many talking points from our Instagram followers?
Yeah, we've got a few, Mickey. We've got the usual few. So thanks to everybody who's contributed. And we'll make a start with Dara Tui. Getting excited about today. Why not? Sure, look at it. First round in the championship, isn't it? He said, Mead for Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam Blacks in Kells for a few points, maybe. Look. Let's not jump the gun. That's all I'll say. I know he's...
Fair enough, yeah.
I know he's
saying probably just getting a little bit too ahead of the crowd. We'll see. Maybe this time next week we could be saying it. We live in hope. Brian Flynn said, can they just give the keys and Mead to Kyogan? Outstanding again today.
When he does retire, he probably... There'll have to be a statue in his honour somewhere in Mead, and probably up in Dunboyne Castle opposite Sean Boylan. That'd be a good place to put one. But he definitely does. He get the keys of the Hill of Tara for sure.
I'm not sure. Maybe his missus mightn't like the idea of this, but I wonder, would there be any chance we could put him into stud when he does retire? Or yeah,
I'm for it anyway.
I won't go there in terms of telling who we could match him up with, but we'll let people decide that for themselves.
Well,
I
think we'll stick with his wife.
We'll save that for the Patreon podcast, Mickey, the people that pay their subscriptions.
We'll give the list of names we recommend.
Moving on swiftly. High End Rush said, James Conlon, 1-4, played very well. Well, in fact, he actually scored one goal in six, but he did play very well. Very, very well.
Following the game and listening to it, I actually had to listen to it on Shannon's side. And they were raving about the Meath footballers. They thought that some of the Meath footballers, and Banty in particular was one that stood out for them. Geordie Morris was another one that stood out for them. Roland Jones' point in the first half with the outside of the boot where he drew across the ball.
Score, yeah.
They waxed lyrical about it. They couldn't believe some of the play that Meath were playing. And it was just refreshing to hear and especially the opposition team's commentators from Shannon's side talking about the Meath team so highly.
For sure. Joey Mooney said that Dublin will have a field day next week. Conceding 3-12 today is not good enough.
Doesn't really matter. Like, the provincial championship doesn't really matter. If we lost today, it was a disaster. But if we lose next week, it's not a disaster. That's just the way it is.
I'd like to think if, I won't say if and when, but if we lose next week, that we don't get the stuff knocked out of us. It'd be great if we put up a bit of performance and kept it somewhere competitive and respectable, at least, hopefully.
Well, I put it to you this way, Davey.
Hmm.
Of the six teams that stayed in, or the four teams that stayed in Division 2 this year.
Yeah.
Right? Which were Cavan, Meath, Cork, and was it Fermanagh? No, Louth.
No, Louth. Yeah.
Louth. How many of those four Division 2 teams are Dublin not kicking the shit out of?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Yes, we want to see a performance, but, you know, let's not lose the rag if we get a beaten, because this is, you have to remember, Dublin are in the top three teams in the country, and then there's a massive gap to the next six or seven teams. You know, even between the top three and the next six or seven, there's a massive gap.
I just think if we could get a performance and keep it respectable, I think that would give you so much confidence ahead of the All Ireland.
Oh yeah,
like, that's all.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know.
I don't want it to go the other way. I know we don't want it to go the other way, but if it does, it's not the worst thing in the world. Is what I'm saying. It just means that we're still that big.
Oh, we are. We're a good bit of it, like, you know. We'll see. Joey also said congratulations to Paul Shankey's Waterford today. Yeah, what a win. Paul Shankey's Waterford beating Tipperary in the Munster Championship.
Unbelievable.
Incredible win. Thanks. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, what a win for Waterford. I can't remember their last championship win in football. And then in Leinster, obviously, you had Wicklow beating Westmead as well. So there was two big upsets today, but obviously the Waterford one is an incredible result.
Yeah. Jack Walsh said, controversial Dunnery goal in the last few minutes versus Blackhall yesterday. Heard the goalkeeper is in the attic today.
Oh, controversial goal? Or is it that the goalkeeper was at fault?
Yeah,
which is
I think the goalkeeper might have done a little bit better. I don't think it was controversial in the sense that there should have been, you know, free out or something. It was just a bit of a dramatic goal, shall we say.
Did anybody check the bets that were put on around the area or anything prior to the game or anything like that? Is there something like that going on? Is that what they reckon?
No, I think the goalkeeper was dreaming about the points that he was going to have later on, and maybe just took his eye off the ball.
Yeah. Maybe he was in the attic at that stage, and that's where he missed it.
He certainly is today. Kieran Devaney said, like Christmas, some amount of presents for Longford.
Right. That it is concerning. It really is. But it was a game that Meade never looked like losing. Like, it was never looked like and that's a weakness, or not, that's not a weakness, that's a, that's something that needs to be looked at, is that, you know, okay, we can just switch it on again here for a few minutes and keep them at arm's length, and then kind of switching off and whatever. So that is something they will obviously have to look at. And we spoke about it earlier on, myself and yourself. I don't know if we said it on the podcast at the top of the podcast, but been defensively so good all year and struggling up front. And then today we let loose, but we also let loose in the back.
Yeah, yeah. Which can happen sometimes when a game is going like that. I just think if we want to become a Division One or an elite team, we probably need to be a bit more ruthless at both ends of the field when games are like that.
If we scored 319 against Dublin, would people be happy?
I'd imagine so, yeah.
What if we conceded 627?
I'd still probably be happy.
Okay.
Megan Greenhall says, played well, James C was on fire.
Yeah, James Condon was on fire. Great to see him back after injury and the whole lot. And you know, like usually when a fella's coming back from injury, even the likes of Jordy Morris, they struggle to get back into it. But the two boys, that was probably the right game for them to get into to get their teeth stuck into today.
Shane Riley wants to know, when is the Dublin game?
Well, did I not already announce that it is next Sunday at 4:30 in Croke Park?
Very good. Thanks for that, Mickey.
But there you go. Next Sunday, the 14th at 4:30 in Croke Park, Dublin versus Meath.
Be there, please. Shane Mangan is next in, and he said some great scores today. Why is the Dublin game not in Navan?
Now, there we go. Did you ask Colm today?
I did, yeah. He said it's a decision made by people in blazers.
Surely he was asked.
What?
Surely he was. So was it the county board or was it?
No, he didn't specify, but I would say he was indicating people in Leinster or in Croke Park. But to be honest, he didn't seem too fussed about it. In fact, if anything, he sounded like he's probably as happy playing it in Croke Park as he is in Navan. That's the vibes I was getting from him.
Okay. Yeah, well, look, I suppose kind of has to, you know, even if he is disappointed it's not in Navan, he probably can't come out and start saying that, because we've seen managers in recent years giving out about Dublin playing their away games in Croke Park and stuff like this, and their home games.
I would have loved it though, Mickey, and I know you would as well, and all the Meath supporters generally would. I don't think we've played Dublin and Navan since the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. I think it would have been brilliant. It would have been a full house in Navan. It would have been great for the local economy, you know, for pubs, restaurants, shops, etc. And it just would have been a great, great atmosphere about Navan next Sunday if that was the case. Instead, you're probably going to be up in Croke Park with maybe, what will it be, 20, 25,000 maybe at most?
Yeah. Was it the league finals that were on last week and they didn't even have the food shops and stuff like that open? The sweet shops or anything. There was nothing open. I don't know.
Sandra Crosby Moore said, no atmosphere at the game at all. We need to start raising the roof for the lads.
Yeah. We've been saying this, is that when you go to the games, get behind the team. I tell you what, you go and watch the likes of Tyrone or Armagh or Donegal, you know, Mayo, even down as far as Kerry. If you're down in Kerry, obviously Kerry supporters don't travel. But Galway, they're so loud, and they get behind their team and they're roaring and they're shouting. In fact, and I know you don't like when I mention Cavan, but when Donegal came down to play Cavan in Kingspan Breffni, the Donegal media actually commented on how mute the Cavan supporters were when their team came out compared to when the Donegal team came out. And they like, you want to hear this. Absolute roar. There was about half the, a quarter of the crowd was Donegal and three quarters was probably Cavan. And yet, the Donegal supporters were way louder than Cavan. It is something that we've actually been talking about on the We Are Cavan podcast as well over the last few months. And it does make a difference to your team and to the players. The players feed off that.
Yeah, it works both ways. The other thing that probably needs to be said here is, and we were having this discussion, Mickey, yourself and myself, before we started recording, was the whole provincial thing and the fact that it has lost its shine, if you like, and it doesn't carry the same significance. I mean, there was only 8,500 in Clonus today for a massive game between Monaghan and Cavan, a massive game in terms of the rivalry, but that really doesn't matter to either. Probably not. Meath and Dublin the same next week. I was at a game between Meath and Dublin about 15 years ago, and there was 75,000 in Croke Park in a Leinster quarter final. You won't have 25,000 at it next Sunday, which is probably says it all about the provincials. And anybody who said that says that the provincials aren't broke and they're fine, they need their head checked, because I think it's just a warm up competition for the All Ireland, and even looking at Meath, that's what they're gearing towards is the All-Ireland series. That's what every team is gearing towards, really. And it's been like that for a number of years now.
The 91 four-game saga between Meath and Dublin, and that's before your time. Like, you don't even remember that. Like, that's just mad. Like, that is one of my greatest ever memories. That was a preliminary round Leinster championship game between Meath and Dublin that filled Croke Park 4 weeks in a row and paid for the new Croke Park. You know, a preliminary round Leinster championship game between Meath and Dublin that went to four games. Absolutely incredible stuff. Like, it's just completely different. Like, the provincial championships, who does the provincial championships benefit at the moment? Division three
the
and
only
four.
Ones that,
the division three and four teams. That's it.
Yeah, and one or two of them at most might somehow get. I think there's one team in Munster who are guaranteed to get to the final the way the draw is this year, with Kerry playing Cork. So there's an opportunity for one of the teams to be in the All-Ireland. I'm saying opportunity. They're going to go into the All-Ireland and get the shy kicked out of them. But good luck to them. Aside from that, you're right. Any of the teams from mid-table Division 2 up, it means nothing. Effectively, the leagues are the most important competition for the likes of Meath than or Cavan. They are.
Yeah. It's... Look, it's just the way it is. And I actually came up with the idea earlier on today, because we were discussing it on with the lads from Cavan, and they were talking about how quiet the build up was to this Cavan.
Yeah,
and I said sure, it means nothing and whatever. But I came up with the idea: what about if you play your provincial championships before your leagues? That then you therefore know what you need to do in the league to get into the All-Ireland series. Now, the only thing is that only affects Division 1 and 2. Division 3 and 4, if they haven't made it to a provincial final in the provincial championships at the start of the year, they know they're going to be playing Division 1 and 2, or Division 3 and 4. If they're going to be playing, that means that they're going to be playing in the Torchin Cup come the summer. So, I don't know. I don't see how you can have two competitions feeding into a third competition. I think it's silly, to be honest with you.
Great. That's it from... Let me do one more quick refresh. No, that's it from Instagram Interactive, Mickey.
No, Caden. It's funny. I thought that maybe Paddy Stapleton might have been on with a few comments. I know he wanted to know about the game next week, why it was in Dublin, and I thought he might have something smart to say about the ham, the fact that I've overtaken him in the fantasy football league. But anyways, that's for next week's show, maybe. Look, Davey, we've a whole host of podcasts going out in our Loyal Royals this week. We've got the Longford Matchday Diary. It's gone out. We have the Meath and Longford review with Owen Frayne and Colin O'Rourke interviews in that one. We've got the under-20 hurlers review from their victory over Derry last weekend, and we will be doing a small bit on the minor game as well, running through the team and stuff that lost to Westmeath. We have the club review from the cup competitions and all the league games that were played last week, and we'll be previewing this upcoming week's league fixtures. And then obviously later in the week we'll have the Dublin preview. So there's a whole host, five I think Loyal Royal podcast going out this week. So we better go. We've got a load of work to do, Davey, to get these podcasts started at least, and to make sure that they're out by the end of the week. Look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Meat podcast. Remember, we are meat. Why matters more.